ABC Radio Australia.
One of the world's smallest national elections was held over the weekend on the island of Niue, and the people there have voted to end the Premier Toke Talangi's 12-year term. He lost his seat and will not return to Parliament. Instead, they voted in favour of a newcomer, a former government secretary, Richard Hipper, to top the polls. Unofficial results showed that he got 440 votes, and he's being tipped as a possible contender for the position of Premier. And journalist Sophia Korinintoa was part of the small reporting team for Niue's national broadcaster, BCN, and joins us now. Good morning, Sophia.
Good morning, Priyanka. Thank you for having me on the show this morning.
Yes, thank you for joining us. So with just under 1,200 people registered to vote in Niue, it doesn't, or shouldn't really, take too long for unofficial results to come in. But these results have been surprising, with Premier Talangi voted out. Is that right?
That's right. Niue is one day behind, so it's Sunday here. The elections was last night, Saturday, and it's been an interesting election here in Niue, one that we can say that took many by surprise. A newcomer, as you said, topped the polls. He's a former Secretary of Government, Richard Hipper, gaining 440 votes in the common roll. So just to put it into context, the Niue Assembly has 20 members, with 14 chosen from single-member village constituencies, while the remaining six are chosen from the island-wide common roll. So the current caretaker Premier of Niue, Sir Toke Talangi, he chose to contest the common roll in the lead-up to election, despite concerns over his ill health by the public and members of the public. He went ahead and, seeking a fifth term, but was unsuccessful in winning a seat. He ranked 10th, so his 12 years reign as Premier came to an end. So everyone is looking forward to a new Premier who will be chosen at the first sitting of the incoming Niue Assembly. Essentially, members of the Parliament are voted in as independent, and they form a coalition, and then the Assembly elects the Premier. So Richard Hipper, who topped the polls, is likely to be contesting the leadership role. Traditionally here, whoever tops the common role is often seen as the person who has gained the mandate of the people to contest the leadership role of Premier, which is elected by the Assembly.
Okay, so we'll see what happens there. Now, you mentioned that this did come to as a surprise to many voters, but with so few voters on the island, and I imagine most people are related or at least know each other, were they more inclined to vote for family or friends rather than looking at policy decisions or anything like that?
Yes, definitely. We had the results, the unofficial tally by 10 o'clock last night, because, given it's a small electorate. And just looking at the results, it indicates their support base, and it's mostly family. So with Richard Hipper, he comes from Alofi, and Alofi had the most number of candidates, and is the largest village, so we can gauge from there that he has a wide support base, definitely in terms of family and friends and supporters.
And what do we know about Richard Hipper? Do we know about his background and what his policies are?
Yes, so Richard Hipper, he's obviously already had experience in governance, being the former Secretary of Government. Prior to this, he has served in managerial positions and director for some state-owned enterprises here, so he has experience in leadership. As Secretary of Government, he has represented Niue well in regional forums, such as the Pacific Island Forum, so he also has that experience in regionalism and negotiating on issues that matter to the Pacific Islanders. He had that advantage in campaigning in terms of visibility and familiarity amongst the people, being one of the few who used TV for campaigning, apart from attending public forums for Q&A with the public. He's also now a former radio announcer, so he's a household name, so that's been an advantage. And he's a good orator, and he's well-respected. His political priorities have had that appeal to the common people in terms of advocating for issues that matter to the people, such as family and basic needs and standard of living. And just to highlight those, he campaigned on family first, improving the livelihoods of families in Niue, increasing the child allowance, extending maternity, paternity leave, entitlements, and support to single-income families, unemployed citizens, and citizens not yet eligible for pension, work and entitlements, improving the infrastructure and roads on the island. That's a big issue. So he's promised to expedite the resealing of the roads and improving water supply, electrical power generation, supplies to all villages, and boosting investment and financial responsibility.
So a lot on his plate. And just before we go on to more results, I understand that many more Niueans, in fact, I think 15 times more, are in New Zealand. But those Niueans are actually not eligible to vote. Is that right? Why aren't they?
That's right. It's just according to the Niue Act here. Well, much of their legislations are, there's been suggestions to review it, and I guess it's just they've kept it to the Niueans on the island, and that is right. Majority, more than 20,000 Niueans live in New Zealand, given their constitutional link to New Zealand and as New Zealand citizens.
This is Pacific Beat, and we're speaking with Sophia Korinatoa, who's a journalist in Niue. Now, I understand, Sophia, that there were a record number of candidates in this election. Just how many were there, and how many spots in Parliament are now up for grabs?
Right. A total of 51 candidates contested the election, 26 in the common roll, while 26 candidates for the village seats. And there was definitely an increase in the voters compared to the last election, with 1,168. And mostly, we can say that the increase in voters, because there were more people who had gained their permanent residency. So it's not only Niueans, it's residents also that added to that total number of voters. So, yeah, the 20 members of the Assembly are elected by two methods, 14 are elected from single-member constituencies and 6 from the single nationwide constituency known as the common roll. And both types of seat use first-past-the-post voting. So, yes, the Alofi South Village had the greatest number of voters, with just under 300, and the greatest number of candidates on the common roll.
Okay, and I understand. You mentioned the two councils that decide on who gets voted in, but I understand one of the seats also needs to be decided by a coin toss. Is that right?
Yes, that's the village of Mutalau, but over here they use the random drawing out of a hat.
Oh, really?
Yes. Things. Some of the practices here. There's been suggestions that during the in the campaign by some members of the public that they need to do away with that practice, seen as archaic and seen as trivializing the candidates that are subjected to this method. So there's a seat that has been tied for the village of Mutalau, and it was the same seat that was also tied in the last election, 2017. So they've yet to draw out of a hat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It'll probably be sometime next week.
Oh, right. Okay. So we'll keep tuned for that. And just finally, Sophia, I understand that, your workplace, BCN, had a major fire just weeks ago that destroyed the studios there. Has that affected the live coverage of the election results or any other coverage that you had planned?
Definitely. It's been a challenging time for the Broadcasting Corporation of Niue, given the recent fire incident which happened last Tuesday. That destroyed our TV studios and affected our broadcasting services. For a few days, the our radio and TV were down. So, and that affected the communication information flow on the island, given that it's the only national broadcaster. the only media organization. So, you know, people in the central area were aware, but people in the outer villages were not aware, and we had them, you know, contacting us, you know, thinking that there was something wrong with their TV and it needed to be repaired. But we told them what happened. So, yes, we've had to work around the clock, mostly our technicians and builders to set up, just to set up a temporary studio in order to provide information on the election and carry out our role as the national broadcasters. But, you know, while that has been a setback, broadcasting services were down with TV and radio. We were grateful to utilize our another avenue, online platforms. We churned out stories on our TV Niue website and promoted that, you know, on our social media platforms, BCN Facebook and Twitter page. So it's while it has been a setback, you know, through teamwork and support, we're overcoming.